It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's such a great day to study God's Word as each and every day is. We're going to be in the book of Exodus once again, Exodus chapter 35. We're going to read that chapter today. It's quite a bit of reading, but I think that you'll enjoy it, and hopefully you'll enjoy the study as well. Exodus chapter 35, and so as you're turning your Bibles open to that scripture verse, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've made some changes on the site. I think you'll enjoy them, so please, if you haven't visited the site recently, and we just continue to put more and more messages up there, I think that you'll enjoy it. I hope that it's a blessing to you, and I hope that it helps you to grow in the Lord. And so please, let's begin now. Exodus chapter 35, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord had commanded that ye should do. 6 days shall work be done, that on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. And ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat hair, ram skin dyed red and badger skin and acacia wood and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, and the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tacks, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, and the candlestick also of the light, and his furniture, and his lamp with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging of the doors at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred them up, and every one whom his spirit was made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all the jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skin brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it, and all the women that were wise-hearted, did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both blue and purple, and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing, to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to make them make by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious work, to work in gold and of silver and brass, and in cutting of stone to set them, and the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholab, the son of Ahizamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, in blue, in purple, in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. The end of the 35th chapter. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this study. It is such a precious time that we have to come and enjoy together your precious word. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll touch every heart that's here, that's listening, that they don't miss, dear Lord, please, that they do not miss an opportunity to hear your word today and be stirred by your word. And please, we know that when your word, dear Father, is read, your Spirit, he can come and he can begin to convict the hearts and show them that they're sinners and they're lost and they need a Savior, and that Savior is none other than your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the Spirit of God that indwells the believer. Once we have come by faith and trusted, dear Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And when that takes place, oh, then, dear Father, it's just a day-by-day work of growing and serving and enjoying. And we're going to see a great service today as we look through these verses of Scripture. There's much work to be done, and they were called to do it, and we see that many applied their hearts to that work. So please now, dear Lord, guide and lead us through your word, that we may grow in it, learn, and gain great wisdom from you and you only. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful day as we can come and look to these scripture verses. It's such a joy to be able to go to this book, the book of Exodus, and learn these things. And you think, oh, this is the Old Testament. What is there that we can learn? Well, I will show you what there is that we can learn. Okay, let's begin now with this 35th chapter, and even we're going to begin with the 35th verse of the previous chapter as we look here, because it is so important that we see and we know the Word of God. And so here in Exodus chapter 35, it says, And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak unto him. Oh, as we look at this now, we need to understand that as Moses would come out and speak to the people, that he had to put a veil over his face because he had been in the presence of the Lord. You know, when we come and we hear the Word of God, maybe our face won't glow in the manner that Moses did, but we should have a countenance that is becoming the Lord. And I see so many today that confess to be Christians that have that old sober face, and they just look like that their whole world, and they're not, they have no joy, there's no smile, there's no excitement in their life. I'm sorry, that's not being a Christian. A Christian can face great trials and great tribulation and still come up with that smile. And it's not a fake one. It's real. It's God-given. And so you think about that as you look to the to each day, and you face each challenge of each day, and oh, the day isn't going well, and my land, I've had 5 Mondays this week. Oh, those things happen to me just like they do everybody else. But my friend, I'm excited to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be a Christian, and to walk each day, and there's not many days that you're not going to see a smile on my face, because it is real. It comes from my heart. And so please that you think on those things, that, you know, when you have spent time with the Lord and that Spirit of God has touched your heart, that the joy should come forth. Let's look at the, you know, people are so confused about being directed and filled and driven by the Holy Spirit and guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, people confuse the tongues, which isn't of God at all today. That's not, there's no place for it today. And so there are so many things that people try to connect with this healing, or with the being filled with the Spirit. But let's take a look here of what God says in His Word. It's back in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That are the qualities, that is what comes out of a person that is directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit. Again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is who you should be. And so please, as we come and we've been in the presence of the Lord, and studied His Word, and I don't care whether that's at home or at church or a Bible study or wherever it might be, that when you come out of there, your countenance, I mean, you can see that you have just enjoyed the Word of God and the power and presence of God. And that's what's in that 35th verse of chapter 34. And now we're to chapter 35. And we find that once again, this is the third time, if my count is correct, that God directs the people of Israel on that seventh day. And that's the Sabbath day, and that's Saturday. And this is to the Jews. This is the law, and this is words that's given to the Jews. And so now as we look at this, we see this time. And it says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. This wasn't just a suggestion, was it? God said, and He had 3 times now that He has brought this to point, brought this to be known, 3 times. And this third time here, He just makes it stronger each time. The nation of Israel is to work for 6 days, and on that seventh day, they are to rest. And I mean rest completely. It is said, don't even kindle a fire. Don't even give the appearance of work. No work is to be done. They weren't to go to the synagogue. They weren't to go to church. They were to do nothing. They were to rest in their homes, and they were to search the Word of God and fellowship and spend time in prayer. It was a day of rejoicing unto the Lord. But it's much different than you think today. Even the folks that come and celebrate the day of the week to come and listen to preaching and listen to teaching and fellowship with believers, those folks that do it on Saturday, they think they're doing right, and they think that we're wrong when we do it on Sunday. Well, the Lord Jesus rose on the first day of the week. We come to celebrate that. We come to praise and honor God. We're not under the law. God fulfilled the law. He completed the law, and we're not under the law. And so many times when you see groups of folks and religions, and that's all it is, it's not, you know, my service, my praise, my honor is to an individual, and that's Jesus Christ. So, you know, you want to say, if you want to watch my schedule, you say, oh, Larry's religious because he is always at church at this time, and he always does this, and he always does that. Well, that's fine, but I'm not religious because I praise and honor and serve the living God. And I have a personal relationship with my living God, and that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am not under the law to come together under a certain day. We do it on the first day of the week, but that's not a law to do that. And some would believe that I'm hellbound because I do not worship on Saturday. That is not of the Word of God. Now here we find, for the Jews, it was commanded. It was demanded that they do, and anyone caught otherwise would be put to death. And so, once again, we come with these things. And at the very first verse of this chapter 35, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them." And again, we come with that seventh day, that the Saturday is the day of rest, the day to worship, the day to honor their God, the God Jehovah that has delivered them out of Egypt and has promised them the promised land and given them life. And what a lot of folks don't realize is that the nation of Israel has been given the opportunity to give to all the world their God. They were the messengers. That's who God chose to show all the world, who their God was, who Jehovah is. Introduce him to the world. That is exactly what the Jews had this wonderful opportunity to do. And so one of those things, there were some things for them to see. Number one, we have the circumcision, of course. That was different from the world. And then also we have now this identification, them all coming to these feasts. There were three feasts a year that they should move to come back into the land of city of Jerusalem. Of course, this is to come here some 40 years later when they finally arrive. And then there is a period of time before the city is chosen and the temple is built that is under the leadership of David. Brings the materials. David has the plans, and then Solomon, his son, carries these plans out, because David was not allowed to build the temple. Scripture says he was a man of blood, and he was not able to do that. And so we find that Solomon was the one that carried that out. And so then, and for the first time now, we find a place where they could come. So it's a period of time, many years later here, when that finally takes place. But they have this witness. That seventh day, everybody worked every day. And all of a sudden now, on that seventh day, you people aren't working. Why aren't you working? There's work to be done. No. Our God said that we're to rest this day, and we're coming together to rest on this day. And so that's the first. Then it begins here in the fourth verse, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." Oh, what a wonderful picture that we hold here. And I want you to see some things, because it begins, you know, God, if you, you know, want to think of him ruling and reigning, and when we think of someone to rule, we think of a king, and we think then that you're under their control, you're under their hand, and we can almost call that a government. And so we are a part of God's kingdom. Well, in God's kingdom, there is no place for complaining, because everything that we do is done out of a willing heart. And look at that scripture verse there in verse 5, and I hope that you underline that. Whosoever is of a willing heart. You know, many churches today, many religions today, you sign off on how much money that you're going to give. And then you have to give that much. You know, you're required to give of what you have appointed to give, whatever that dollar figure was. And so God didn't ever put that into place. Well, how am I going to set a budget up if I don't know how much money that's going to be coming in with the offering? Don't you trust the Lord? Don't you trust the Lord? We have no requirements of giving. We have no prior setting of how many dollars you're going to give this year, because you see, you give with a willing heart. The work of the Lord is not set up on soup suppers, upon socials, upon things like that. The work of the Lord is set upon a giving people and a willing giving people. That's the only place that the money for missions, for anything that's connected with the church, comes through the offering, the giving. It should never come from the outside. It shouldn't come from a lost person. It should come from a willing heart, someone that is saved. And so, once again, here it comes, and it's not a requirement. It's not a requirement. This isn't a tax. This isn't something that is of the normal. This is regular. And so, as we look now at this, as we see this, we find that it is an offering. You do it out of your own will. It is not by the Lord. Willing heart. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. But it's a willing heart. This isn't a tax. This isn't a requirement for everyone to bring. It continues here, some of the gifts that can be brought: blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones would be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord had commanded. And so we have two parts here. It begins with, in the fifth verse, the willing heart. The willing heart, this coming. You know, I do not give to the church because I am required to give a tithe, to which is 10%. I give according to the Lord, according to how he has touched me, how he has used me, how he has empowered me. I give. I also give of my time the same way. I give a willing heart. Now, we've got all these things listed. And then there's not only the bringing of the gifts and these things. There is also now a work that needs to be done. A work. And so this, you may have the money. You may have... God may have blessed you financially, but physically you can't do the work. Well, you give. If God, again, this is a willing heart. This isn't giving grudgingly, because there's no blessing to that whatsoever. If you want what you have been blessed with, and if it's material gain, then you give. You give, and then those that may be, in many cases, are younger, possibly. They're still raising their family, and they don't have a large income, and so they're not able to give as much, but they can give their time. They have talents to give, then they're to give. And we have that down here in this 10th verse. Every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all these things. And then here in the 11th verse, it begins with this list of great work that needs to be done. And so, let's look back at a couple of verses of Scripture that are beautiful verses of Scripture to kind of help us see that we should be serving and praising and honoring our God. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that's all the way to the other end of your Bible, to the back of your Bible. 1 Peter, and find James, Hebrew, James, 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, I'm sorry, 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. God has given everyone a gift. Everyone. And we need to see that we are using it and using it cheerfully. not grudgingly, oh, I got to go to work at the church tonight. Oh, I need to go clean the church tonight. Oh, you know, boy, I just wish I didn't have to do this or I didn't have to do that. Oh, I need to prepare for my Bible study, you know, or my Sunday school class or my Sunday school lesson. Oh, please, my friend, don't, you're missing all the blessings God has for you. Let's come and let's do it cheerfully. Please do it cheerfully. We have another verse of Scripture in the New Testament here, and that's in 1 Corinthians, and it's several verses of Scripture. I hope that we have time to finish it before we're out of time already today. Oh, the time goes so quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 7th verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That in itself summarizes much. We have a work to do, and we've been empowered to do that work. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophesying, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. For all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All the blessings that are there. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. What a beautiful verse of Scripture to read. There is much work to be done in building this tabernacle, and God has given talents to all to perform this, to carry it out. Everyone has their own talents. Some have the wealth and maybe are physically unable, too old possibly to do it, but they have the money. And so they bring of the gold and silver and those things. And others then, they bring something of the lesser, and yet they still bring. But it's all, again, a willing heart, every wise-hearted among you. Oh, my friend, when you come and you've heard the word of God, how do you move? Are you moved by the Spirit of God to get to work? Well, then please do it, and do it quickly, because that old devil's got a way of cooling you off. There is so much work to be done today in the church. There is so much work to be done. There are so many folks to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. So many that need to share the gospel. There's much teaching that needs to go on today to know the truths, proclaim the truths, teach the truths. Please, that we do not miss an opportunity to serve our God. But there are some requirements, and that is that we need to do it with a willing heart. Every wise-hearted. And so that's a heart that's been grabbed by the Holy Spirit and wants to work, wants to physically work, wants to support it in some manner or another. Oh, we'll begin with these verses of Scripture here in the 35th chapter next time we come together. Oh, it is so important, my dear friend, that you know Jesus as your Savior. It's so important that when you have come to know Him personally, that you begin this wonderful walk and you begin to serve and work and do it with a willing heart. please, with a willing heart. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?